my God, my hat says USA. My shirt is a Kamala shirt, and it's a reference to Brat. And we're here, and we're doing it. And it's a blanket for a recording studio in a one-bedroom apartment in North Hollywood. And this is People Pleaser, and I'm Austin Archer. And we're back for another episode of the show. We're live on YouTube, we're live on TikTok, and we're probably in your ears on Spotify or Apple Podcasts somewhere at some point in time. Hi. What a wild time it's been, right? For the last, 10 days or so. We're going to talk about the whole weird thing in the discourse. If you've been on the internet in the last couple days, I'm sure you've noticed the influx in people calling conservatives and right-wing weirdos weird, because they are weird. They're a bunch of weird asses. And we're going to talk about, like, why it works, because there have been a lot of hot takes on Threads and on X, I'm sure. I don't spend a whole lot of time over there, and on different places on the internet of people trying to break down, like, what is it about this word that has happened to work finally? And we're going to get into that, but first, we're going to do a little bad take brigade, okay? This is a segment on the show where we do a rundown of some things that people have said in the public eye or in the news lately, and we break down some bad takes. And it has a jingle that goes like this, down, down, the bad take brigade. And I'm never going to actually record that as a real jingle. I'm just always going to do the stinger a cappella for the bad take brigade. But you can imagine what it would sound like with an electric guitar that goes, bow, bow, the bad take brigade. And, let's get into the bad take brigade. I'm going to try something here on the stream that I've never done before, and I had to look up how to do this. I'm such an old guy sometimes when it comes to, like, basic internet technology. But we're going to watch this video. This is a compilation that was put together by a TikTok account that I can't even remember what the name. It's the DC Shorts. That's what it is. The DC Shorts. This is a conservative TikTok account that does these, like, compilations of news clips and stuff. They put together this compilation of of things that Kamala Harris said the last time that she ran for president. And they put this together ostensibly to point out, like, what a bad candidate she is and how crazy she is and what a clown she is. They put the whole thing to, like, circus music. And it's just it's the silliest video because, and it's, like, crazy and it's very weird because every single thing that they show is just, like, a very based take from her. It's just, like, a really good clip. Like, they unintentionally just make a really solid campaign video for her. So let's watch this here really quick. And sorry, on TikTok, you're just going to have to listen. But on YouTube, you can see the clip.
Who here would abolish their private health insurance in favor of a government-run plan? All right.
So yeah, we get a big cheers there, a big applause. Joe Biden's on the debate stage. Andrew Yang's on the debate stage. Michelle Klobuchar is on the debate stage. Hillary Clinton's on, or no, I think it's maybe Elizabeth Warren, or maybe it's Hillary Clinton on the debate stage. I can't see who's next to Kamala there. It can't be Hillary Clinton. Somebody else. But the only two people to raise their hands as a yes to that question are Bernie Sanders and Kamala Harris, said we would be in support of a government-ran healthcare system. And immediately, the DC Shorts starts playing the circus music and the clown show music and being like, can you believe? Can you even believe the idea of government-ran healthcare? Just anybody who lives in the United States knows how absolutely broken and morally bankrupt our healthcare system is. So to just start your clip off by being like, how insane that they're in favor of some kind of socialized, universal, basic level of taking care of citizens without gouging people for all of the money they could possibly ever raise on a GoFundMe. How crazy of Bernie Sanders and Kamala Harris. So anyway, that's the first take.
I don't even call it climate change. It's a climate crisis. It represents an existential threat to us as a species.
Existential threat.
How crazy. How insane. She said that climate change is a climate crisis and it represents an existential threat to us as a species. And then they even do the thing where they slow it down and have her go existential threat. Like, She's so wild to believe the global supermajority of scientists who have done research on climate change for the last 7-8 decades and have confirmed beyond a shadow of a doubt that we absolutely are changing the climate of this planet and absolutely are heating it up to unforeseen levels and dangerous levels at a dangerous rate. And it is absolutely one of the, if not the greatest existential threat to the survival of the species. But how insane for her to say that. What a clown. What an absolute circus. A madhouse, I say.
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
That one right there. There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking, and then followed with like her laughing. Yeah, okay, cool. That's good.
People who are convicted in prison, like the Boston Marathon bomber, on death row, people who are convicted of sexual assault, they should be able to vote?
I think we should have that conversation.
This is so great. I love that the DC Shorts includes this one right here. This is my favorite one in the entire compilation because this is Kamala Harris on the campaign trail last time she ran, having a conversation with Don Lemon where he is basically saying, do you think that convicted felons should be allowed to vote? And she says, I think we should be having that conversation. The DC Shorts, this is how like, this is like the lack in self-awareness from conservatives is so strong. The DC Shorts has zero self-awareness. They're sharing this clip of her saying, I think we should be having a conversation about letting convicted felons vote. And they're going, what a crazy clown Kamala Harris is. How unfit for office she would be as president because she thinks that convicted felons, we should be having a conversation about letting convicted felons vote for president. And their candidate, the conservative candidate for president, their number one guy, who they want to be president, is a convicted felon. Was convicted on 34 felony counts. Like, the lack of self-awareness to include this in your clip show and be like, isn't it so crazy that Kamala thinks that convicted felons should be allowed to vote? And we just think that they should be allowed to be president? It's so crazy to put that in your clip show and not have the forethought to be like, oh, wait, people are going to be like, yeah, but you're running a convicted felon for president.
Okay.
I am proposing that we change the tax code. So for every family that is making less than $100,000 a year, they will receive a tax credit that they can collect up to $500 a month.
So you support giving universal health care, Medicare for all, to people who are in this country illegally?
I am opposed to any policy that would deny in our country any human being from access to public safety, public education, or public health, period.
What a crazy person. Did you hear that? She said that she's opposed to any policy that would deny any person access to safety and to public health. That, what an insane, what a crazy clown show take. This is like, it's such a self-own. This whole compilation is such a like absolute decimation of everything that conservatives stand for and believe in. It's just like how they made their whole thing being against things like social justice, against things like diversity, equity, and inclusivity. Being like, no, those are bad things. Diversity, equity, and inclusivity, that's a bad word. And it's like, that's such a huge self-own. Like, you are just, you're telling everyone that you have dog shit values. Like, and then this, like, playing clown music over her saying, I'm opposed to any policy that would deprive any human being of a base level of safety and care. And they're like, what an insane person. Whoa. Honk, honk, pie in the face, you know, ringing bells, ding, 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 shooting seltzer in people's faces.
Joining us.
Elizabeth Warren is here, as you know. She said that she supports student loan forgiveness for 42 million Americans.
Yeah.
Would you go that far? Do you support that?
Well, I support anything that is about reducing the debt of student loans. And I think that's an important conversation to have. We need reasonable gun safety laws in this country, starting with universal background checks and a renewal of the assault weapon ban.
I will immediately, by executive action, reinstate
DACA status and DACA protection to those young people.
And specifically what I will do is put in place a requirement that for anyone who sells more than 5 guns a year, they are required to do background checks when they sell those guns. I will require that for any gun dealer that breaks the law, the ATF take their license. And by the way, ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms. Well, the ATF has been doing a lot of the A and the T, but not much of the F. And we need to fix that.
Yeah. Incredibly based compilation there. Just like a just fantastic campaign ad for Kamala Harris. Like, what? I couldn't ask for a better one. Like, literally could not ask for a better compilation of clips to be like, oh, those are all really, really good takes there. Really, really, like, solid policies and solid ideas. And those are the clips that the DC Shorts chose to cut together to be like, what a crazy woman she is. Did you hear how many times she giggled during that compilation? Did you hear all of the giggling that she did? So many giggles while she was talking about how we should take care of people and have, like, common sense gun law reform and, you know, making sure that we're reducing the debt of students who have been gouged by, you know, the private sector taking over education and healthcare. Anybody who lives in this country, including conservatives, is aware that the price of higher education and the price of healthcare is out of control, that the private sector has absolutely failed our society when it comes to their involvement in higher education and healthcare. These are two cornerstones of any functioning society. We need a functioning education system and we need a functioning healthcare system. These are two things that we have to have in order to be able to thrive as a society and in order to be able to say that our government is adequately serving the people. These are like two of the main pillars, and it's two of the worst, like the things that we do the worst in this country is education and healthcare, and specifically higher education, and just letting higher education being a for-profit business that just keeps raising its prices to insane costs. And to the point where, like, anybody who gets hurt, anybody in your life, it doesn't matter how gainfully employed they are, anybody that gets hurt or gets cancer or needs some sort of unforeseen medical procedure done, you're going to see that person putting up a GoFundMe because our healthcare system has been absolutely destroyed by greed in the private sector. And everybody who lives here knows this, including conservatives. Like, they are aware that when they get sick, it's not good because they're not going to have the requisite money to pay for it. They are aware of the skyrocketing cost of higher education and how that's made higher education not only unobtainable for a big portion of society, but also it's just made it so that people are drowning in debt for the rest of their lives and they can't enter a housing market because the housing market is out of control as well. Everybody that lives here is aware of this, and then they're putting it in a clip show going like, isn't it crazy that she thinks that we should try to do something about the debt of the populace so that we can put their money back into the economy instead of just putting their money all towards erasing their massive amounts of medical and student loan debt? What a crazy concept. Bad take there. Really bad take from DC Shorts. Great Kamala Harris campaign ad. Fantastic ad for Kamala Harris. Terrible compilation trying to show what a bad candidate she is. Let's move on to the next bad take that I have. I couldn't get a video up of this, but this is the video that I just posted a video on TikTok. You can go watch my TikTok video. It's this interview that Donald Trump just did where he is asked in the interview, the interviewer says, you know, I just noticed this, that Kamala Harris has on her Twitter page, or I think it's on her Twitter, her pronouns, she/her. What would your pronouns be? And Donald Trump responds, it's the best, like, it's such a Trump response. He just goes, I don't want pronouns. That's the sentence that he says. That's the actual quote that he says. He goes, I don't want pronouns. And then the interviewer, and I love this, straight-faced looks back at him and says, so are you fluid? Does that mean that you're fluid? Asks him if he's gender fluid because he says he doesn't want pronouns. And he responds, nobody knows what that means. If you ask Kamala Harris, ask her what that means. She doesn't know. Nobody knows what that means. And that's his response. So first of all, he says, I don't want pronouns. I don't want pronouns. And for anyone who knows what a pronoun is, you know that I is a pronoun. I don't want pronouns. And then second of all, he says, nobody knows what that means. Nobody in the world knows what a pronoun is. It's just, you know, it's like nobody. Ask Kamala. Ask her, he says. He says, ask her. She doesn't know what that means. Her and she, of course, being pronouns. I released my song, Congratulations, onto the internet about 3.5, maybe 4 years ago. I put out a song that goes, congratulations, that was one of the stupidest things that I've ever seen anybody post on the internet before. Maybe you've heard it. That song was in response to someone, a conservative person who was very clearly displaying that they don't know what pronouns are. And there's a line in that song that says, you just said, I don't know what pronouns are, and I won't learn because learning's hard. Here we are 4 years later, and these people still just refuse to learn what this very basic part of the English language is. They just refuse to learn what a fucking pronoun is. This is the presidential candidate for the Republican Party saying in an interview just a couple days ago, I think he did this yesterday, that nobody knows what a pronoun is. These people, when I first posted my video, when I first posted that song, the comments from conservative people over and over and over again kept saying, I don't see what the problem is. I agree with the original poster. Pronouns are stupid. Like hundreds, maybe even thousands of comments I got, because that video got like 30 million views and had tens of thousands of comments on it and so many shares and reposts and people using the sound. So I got thousands of comments on that video and thousands of conservative people in my comments saying, because the original video is of a guy who like doesn't know what pronouns are. And all of these people in my comments kept saying, I don't get the problem. Like, pronouns are stupid. I agree with the original guy. He's right. Pronouns are stupid. So many people saying, like, he's correct. He is correct. Pronouns are stupid. And I just, like, I couldn't believe that, like, that joke was too complex for them. It went clean over their heads. Like they were like, I don't get what you're saying. I said in the song, you don't know what pronouns are and you won't learn because learning's hard, even though it's not hard at all. You learned this in like second or third grade and it's totally okay if you forgot or if you were like out of school that day because you had a cold, that's fine. Go just Google what is a pronoun. Just go look it up. It's actually not hard at all to learn what a pronoun is. This actually isn't a complex thing to learn, but it's too difficult, too complex of a topic for the average Trump supporter, and indeed for Donald Trump himself. It's too, like, he is convinced that nobody knows what a pronoun is because he doesn't know what a pronoun is. We know what pronouns are. Just if there's any conservative person who happens to stumble upon this live stream or happens to be watching this, I just want you to know we know what pronouns are, and it's not what you think they are. I think that what conservative people think pronouns are is they think it's like a made-up term that liberal people and queer people made up at some point in the last like 5 years or so, and it's a made-up word that means this is how I tell people my gender identity. And since they don't believe in the concept of gender identity, they just believe that your gender is whatever the doctors said it was when you were born. They don't buy into that concept of gender being spectral or socially constructed. They just believe it is a fixed, rigid binary, even though literally biologically, it's not. There are just more than two ways that humans present on the level of biological sex. There are more than two orientations. There are more than two chromosomal orientations, and there are more than two anatomical orientations, and there are like more than two sets of ways that your hormones, even like if you even wanted to make the binary like testosterone or estrogen, it's like, cool, if that's the binary, then there needs to be fixed amounts. All men need to have the same fixed amount of testosterone, and all women need to have the same fixed amount of estrogen, but it varies between people. It's all over the place because it's spectral. But they don't buy into any of this. They don't believe in, like, basic biological science and reality, and they don't believe their own eyes. They don't believe, like, when they see gender nonconforming people existing in the world and trans people existing in the world, they just don't believe that those people are real. They don't believe the evidence of their own anecdotal experience in the world. So they don't buy into the concept of gender identity, and they think that what the word pronouns is it's just like a, they think it's just like a synonym for gender identity or for gender ideology or like gender politics, identity politics, whatever. That's genuinely what they think it is. So when Donald Trump says nobody knows what this is, he thinks that pronouns is just some sort of vague way of talking about the concept of gender ideology and identity politics. He doesn't actually understand that a pronoun is an improper noun, and it is just a basic function and participle of the English language. Sorry, I shouldn't have said the word participle. I should have said like part or component. Shouldn't have even said component. Let's forget about component. Let's just say part. Just a piece of the English language. Trying to keep these words really, really small and digestible. But yeah, a pronoun is not just a made-up concept. This is so, it's so, oh my God, you guys, it's so crazy that I have to explain that people on the left didn't make up the concept of pronouns, and that pronouns aren't this like vague, indefinable thing, that it's just he, him, she, her, I, it, that, this, they, them. It's just that. That's what a pronoun is. That it's just that. It's so crazy. It's so crazy to have to explain that. Yeah, boy. Donald Trump, y'all. And the Trump campaign. Isn't it so wild? We're going to get into the topic for today's podcast, which is why weird works. Why this whole thing of weird works. And it's linked to this whole pronoun thing, and it's linked to the just general basic stupidity and lack of educational prowess of Donald Trump and of his followers. But just to talk a little bit more about how stupid Donald Trump is, and how inept he is, and how bad he is at doing the things that he's supposed to do. Just like, you know, the DC Shorts people are so bad at like cutting together a compilation. Surely there are worse clips that you could have picked of Kamala Harris speaking than the ones that you found. Like, you found like the most based, best clips of her. Like, surely there are worse clips out there, and you found all of the best clips of her on her last presidential campaign. But that's because these people are just bad. They're just not smart. But yeah, to go into the ineptitude of the Trump campaign and Donald Trump even a little bit more, y'all, it's been 2 weeks since Donald Trump was shot in the ear while speaking at a rally. I do big quotes "shot in the ear" because, like, y'all, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I do not lean towards conspiratorial thinking. It's not my default. When that first happened and everyone immediately was like, this is fake, it's a conspiracy, I was like, that's not me. That's not my default. My default is like, let me get more information about this. Let me hear as things come out. But then, like, the Trump campaign and Donald Trump himself, they're so inept, they're so bad at capitalizing on the momentum they were trying to buy by doing this whole stunt, that like they couldn't even get him to publicly appear with the ear bandage consistently for 2 weeks. For 2 weeks. It was like, Within days, he was making public appearances and forgetting to wear the ear bandage. And it was just like, oh, that ear doesn't have a wound on it. Like, his ear is fine. His ear that was apparently shot by a sniper bullet is fine. Doesn't have a scratch on it. And he, like, forgot. And his whole team, presumably, forgot to have him wear the thing. It's just like, oh, guys, this is a slam dunk. All you had to do was just remember to have him wear the ear. He didn't even have to talk about it. Just wearing the bandage is enough to be like, remember, I was shot a few days ago and I survived. Not only did I survive, I stood up and I pumped my fist into the air and said, fight, fight, fight. And it was really cool. Remember that? And they can't, they're so bad at their job. They're so bad at running a presidential campaign that 2 weeks after that happened, they've like completely forgot to make it one of their strongest campaigning points, to be like, hey, this guy was shot at. This guy was a victim of political violence and he survived. This guy deserves our respect. They've lost the plot. Like, he couldn't help himself but be Donald Trump. Not only did he forget to wear the bandage consistently, but he also went out and, like, he has to just say something crazy every few days or he's going to internally explode. So he had to go on stage and at a rally in front of a bunch of Christians and say, like, hey, guys, vote for me and democracy won't be a thing anymore. I promise. That's my campaign promise to you, is if you vote for me, no one will ever have to vote ever again. Gonna fix it? Gonna fix it so you don't have to vote anymore. That clip is so wild. He says it so many times. He says so many times in a row that no one's ever going to have to vote anymore if you vote for him. Like, if he said it one time, then Trump supporters could be like, he misspoke, or you misheard him, or you didn't get the full context of what he was saying. He says it like 5 times in a row. He's like, just in case I'm not being clear, if I win in November, no one will ever have to vote again because I'm going to fix our electoral system so that you don't have to vote anymore after you vote for me in November. You don't have to vote. Does that make sense what I'm saying? You don't have to vote anymore after you vote for me. Just, I don't know if I'm being clear enough. If you vote for me and I win, then I'm going to fix democracy so that nobody ever has to vote anymore and we don't have any elect. I don't think I'm being clear. Sorry. I'm worried that people aren't going to get me here. So let me be really, really clear. What I'm saying is, if I'm elected in November, I'm not ever going to have elections anymore in this country. We're just going to end. Does that make sense what I'm saying? Is that clear enough? It's such a, like, wild clip. Like, this man had one of the best photo ops in the last 30 years of American politics. Him getting walked off that stage with blood smeared across his face, his fist in the air, in front of an American flag, and all of us collectively went, oh, fuck, he's gonna win. Oh, shit, that's it, slam dunk, game over. And like 3 days later, He's going in public without the ear bandage on, showing that his ear is not wounded. He's saying stuff like, if I'm elected, I'm going to end democracy. Make no mistake, this is what I'm saying. And then also, like, the Biden-Harris administration pulls the most gangster move ever and goes like, hey, you know all of that attention he was getting for getting shot at? We're just going to erase all of that because Biden's stepping down and Kamala's stepping in and just completely reclaimed the spotlight. It's so wild. Like, listen, I don't know what actually happened at that Trump rally, okay? I don't know what actually happened. Apparently somebody died. That seems really real. Apparently, like, the shooter is a real person who was taken out and killed. I can't say what actually happened that day. What I can say is, homie has appeared in public several times without a bandage on and seems to have a completely uninjured ear. They have given gag orders to the medical professionals at the hospital that he was taken to and made them sign NDAs, not allowing them to say whether or not he was shot. The FBI has been instructed not to comment on whether or not he was shot. The whole entire procedure of how his personal detail handled him being shot is not the way that it's supposed to be handled. The reason why you've never seen a clip of a high-ranking political official being shot at and then standing up and pumping their fist with their full chest and face exposed is because that doesn't happen. You've never seen a clip like that before because that's not how that's done. The way that it's supposed to be done is the moment a shot is fired, tuck and chuck. That is the standard operating procedure. If you watch the clip of John Hinckley shooting at Ronald Reagan, Ronald Reagan disappears in 5 seconds. It's not even five, it's like 3 seconds and Reagan is gone. And the reason that is because his detail folds him in half like a suitcase and throws him into a car and the car drives away. And then the rest of the people there gang tackle John Hinckley, and that's who is left in the video. But it's not like they dogpile Ronald Reagan, stand on top of him for a full minute, and then he stands up and puts his fist in the air and goes, "I'm good, don't worry." No, they fold him in half, throw him in a car, and drive away. And that is standard operating procedure for being a bodyguard for a high-profile asset like Donald Trump. If it were handled the way that it should be handled 10 times out of 10, 100 times out of 100, the way that every single person in his security detail is trained to handle it, they would have been on the stage and he would have been in an armored car in under 10 seconds. The whole ordeal takes like almost 2 minutes. It takes them like almost a full minute before he stands up and pushes his fist in the air and they do the photo op and they let his entire chest and face be exposed while the threat is still unknown. It's unknown whether the threat has been neutralized completely or not. So what I'm saying is I don't know what happened. All I can say is it's pretty like Donald Trump and his team are bad at their jobs, and they're bad at like making things like all they had to do was stage it in a way that was believable, keep the bandage on his ear, and keep the story about how he's this indestructible, invincible guy who couldn't be taken down by the bullet of a political terrorist. Keep the focus on that, and you've really got something. You've really got some momentum. You've got a story, but Donald Trump and his team are so bad at what they do that within the first 2 weeks, they lost all of the spotlight to Kamala Harris. And also Donald Trump just keeps going on TV and being Donald Trump and like saying insane things. And in a way, it's such like poetic justice because he created this world where there is no story involving him that's big enough to have staying power. Going all the way back to 2015, when he first announced that he wanted to run for president, he started doing things that were so controversial and crazy in public at such a regular clip, things that would like destroy the career of any other politician. He started doing them so regularly that like, it kind of created this whole weird phenomenon where nothing he did stayed in the news cycle for longer than 3 days. Like he'd say the most batshit, like crazy, insane thing you'd ever heard a presidential candidate ever say. And for 2 or 3 days, the internet and the news would be like, "Whoa, what did he just say? That's the most insane thing we've ever heard anybody say who is as high profile as him." But then he would say something that would top it 3 days later. And it would just completely, we'd be like, "Oh, he just did something even crazier." And he kept that up. He's kept that up for the last almost 10 years. And now he's a victim of the world that he created. Like he couldn't even keep his own assassination attempt a relevant story in the news for longer than 5 days because he couldn't help being Donald Trump. Okay. Anyway, this brings us to the topic of the episode, why weird works, why this thing is working, why this strategy from Democrats, and it really does seem to be a coordinated effort that started with Democratic politicians, because those are the people who first were on TV saying this. There was the guy from, I think, Minnesota or Missouri who said it on, you know, a lot of people are crediting him with starting it. But then like a lot of people in the news have been saying it lately. Kamala's said it. Pete Buttigieg has said it. people on, you know, Hillary Clinton's been saying it on Twitter. Lots of different people have been running with this whole "they're weird" thing. "They're a bunch of weirdos" thing. London Laz is here on YouTube and he's asking me, but how will this affect LeBron's legacy? And that's a funny little troll, London. We'll get to that later. But love you, buddy. Friend of the podcast, London Laz. He's been on, I think, 3 episodes. But yeah, so of all the things that we've said about these people over the years, racist, xenophobic, transphobic, homophobic, misogynistic, authoritarian, fascist, deplorable, why is weird the thing that finally seems to be landing with them and getting under their skin? And I really don't think that, like, we need to... Somebody says drop the podcast, though. Taylor says drop the podcast. This is People Pleaser with Austin Archer. I've been doing this podcast for like 5 years now. People Pleaser with Austin Archer. Welcome to it in the live stream. Hi. But it's that we don't need to overanalyze why this is working. The reason why it's working is pretty simple, and it's just because we finally found an insult that is on their level. We finally found a word that is simple enough and like small enough that they can understand it, that they get it. It's a single syllable, depending on how you say it. Some people might say weird, and then you could argue that it's like 1.5 syllables, maybe 2, if you're stretching. But it's a single syllable word, just 5 letters. Everybody tends to understand the general definition of the word. But I think to really understand why this lands for them, we need to look at why the other words didn't land. So, I mean, it, like, the simple explanation of why weird works is because it's simple enough. And they're simple people with simple brains. They've got little rock brains and, like, little kid brains. And this is a simple enough thing. But we can get into this a little bit deeper by looking at why the other things don't work. And there's 2 main reasons, I think, that these other insults don't work. And the first is they don't understand it. They literally don't know what the word means. And they're too lazy to look it up. And the second is... they're not actually offended by that title. So these words fall into different categories. The reason why basket of deplorables didn't work, I saw somebody in my comments recently go like, yeah, but calling them weird is just going to be falling into the same trap of the deplorables thing. Like, basket of deplorables didn't really catch on, didn't work. It's just a lowbrow ad hominem, and it didn't really do much for the Hillary campaign. But basket of deplorables never really worked because it didn't affect them, because the word deplorable is too hoity-toity of a word for the average Trump supporter. Now, is deplorable an actually, like, complex word that not a lot of people understand the meaning of? No. But is it too big of a word for the average Trump supporter? Yeah. Like, basket? I think they get that one. I think they've got that. Of... given their track record on pronouns, you could argue that they might struggle with, like, what part of the English language of falls into. But I think they understand the word of. But deplorables, whether they understand the word or not, it just sounds a little too fancy. And they can sort of dismiss it by being like, oh, ooh, somebody went to college, I see. Ooh, fancy Ivy League liberals calling us deplorable. Meanwhile, they're just, like, settling for calling people the R slur and stuff like that. You know, they need something a little grimier, a little simpler. So, you know, I don't necessarily know that that all of them didn't understand what the word deplorable means, but it's just a little too fancy. It's a little too dressed up for their taste. Now, calling them something like homophobic or transphobic or queerphobic, the problem with this thing is they're not actually offended by that label. So when you call them, hey, you guys are really bigoted towards the queer community, you have a lot of overt hatred for queer people, and it's very obvious, they don't take that as some kind of, you know, smudge on their character or some kind of legitimate ding at their character. It doesn't actually cut them the way that we want it to. Whether they admit it or not, they might openly and publicly be like, I'm not homophobic, I'm not transphobic, I got gay friends. I know, like, but, like, the reality is a lot of them are either privately or publicly and very vocally, proud of their bigotry toward queer people. So these terms do not work to actually get under their skin. They're like, yeah, no, I'm happy to support the doctrine in the Bible that I don't understand. I'm sticking up for biblical dogma that I don't actually comprehend. You know, they're proud to be, they feel like their queer bigotry is a sign that they stand firm in their Christian values that they don't actually understand. They don't actually understand Levitican law or, you know, that verse in Leviticus or how it came to be. They don't actually know that the word homosexual wasn't in the Bible until the 1940s and that it was like voted on by a council of people who was doing the latest retranslation of their thousands of years old book that has been translated and retranslated and retranslated hundreds of times into different words. They don't know any of that history and they're not going to research or learn that. They just think, this is me standing up for my Christian values, and they're proud of that. So that term's not actually going to get in there. Now, a term like xenophobic, forget it. Forget it. You say xenophobic, and they're like, what? Huh? Did you just say xylophone? What? Xenomorph? The thing from the Alien movies? I don't even think that they know that the alien from Alien is called a xenomorph. I think that they're just like... Like, I think that, like, xylophone would be the closest. They'd be like, xylophonic? What'd you just say I am? I'm afraid of xylophones? You don't even bother with a word like xenophobic. Like, way too. And again, is xenophobic an actually complex word? No, it's probably like a 7th or 8th grade vocabulary word, you know? But it's way too complex for your average Trump supporter. Words like authoritarian and fascist. The problem with these words is they have too many conflicting and flexible definitions that can be found on the internet. Now, you can find a pretty popular definition of fascism that talks about a particular brand of ultra-right-wing nationalism, usually white nationalism, that is very right-wing and authoritarian. You can find definitions like that that tend to be aspects of many fascistic governments and fascistic dictators and fascistic leaders. But fascism is sort of a term that is hard to nail down. It's a term that, like, you can really do entire video essays on and still not come to, like, a conclusive sentence that really says this is the definitive definition of fascism. So it's an easy word for them to sort of dismiss because A, they don't understand it, but also B, not a lot of people actually have a firm grasp on fascism the way that they think they do. And this is something that kind of exists on both the left and the right. It's something that's, it's a little bit hard to pin down because it's like more, it's more of a set of values that go, that are baked into certain governmental structures. But ultranationalism, you know, deference to authority, things like that, deference to status quo, things like eugenics and ethnostates and ethnic purity, things like traditionalist mythology, a mythos of the way that things used to be, a mythology and a longing for a bygone era. And all of these things are certainly very... very much so a part of modern conservatism. They absolutely are a part of conservative ideology. But again, you're too deep into the weeds once you're trying to explain what you mean when you say fascist. They need to instantly understand what you mean, and they need to actually take that word as an insult. It is funny how often they will use the word fascist to describe people on the left. They'll be like, no, you're the fascist. And it shows that they don't really actually know what they're saying. They're just saying, I know you are, but what am I? And the big tell here is how they've boldly made their public boogeyman for the last several years this vague concept of Antifa or anti-fascism. Like, they hate the anti-fascists, and they think there is no greater threat to the American way and to the American people than the anti-fascists. Yet when you call them a fascist, they'll be like, no, you're a fascist. And it's like, okay, well, I'm not the one who hates the anti-fascists, but this is, you know, this is just the lack of self-awareness thing. This is them playing a clip of Kamala Harris saying that she is in favor of having a conversation about felons being allowed to vote and saying, isn't that so crazy? And lacking the self-awareness to know that they are currently running a convicted felon, that they currently want a convicted felon to be president. They think it's crazy that convicted felons could potentially vote someday, but they think it's totally normal and fine that a convicted felon could not only vote, but be president, could vote for himself and be president and then end all future elections. They think that's totally cool. Because again, we're just not dealing with the brightest people here. Authoritarian falls into the same camp as fascism. They don't fully grasp the concept of authoritarianism or what it means, so they don't know whether or not they should be offended by it. And I have a sneaking suspicion that whether they grasp the concept or not, there's some part of them that sort of connotatively vibes with the word authoritarian. Whether or not they grasp what authoritarianism actually is, they do like the idea of strong guy, of strong guy good, and something about the word authoritarian, I think they have an image in their mind of what an authoritarian leader is, and they like that. They think strong guy good, authoritative guy good, authority good. They default to liking cops. They like a guy who's got the authority to kill you if he wants and get away with it. They dig that kind of stuff. And that is, you know, also like a characteristic of fascism. But again, they would have to do too much research into what authoritarianism actually is and why it's bad to understand why they should be offended by it. And they're not going to do that. Misogynistic. Too big of a word. Too big of a word. I think that this is a common enough word that they understand the basic definition or the general definition of misogyny, but I'm going to put misogynistic and racist into the same category of like, they generally understand that when you say you're sexist or misogynistic or you're racist, that what we're talking about is you have some kind of prejudice based on gender and race. And they do a quick Rolodex in their head of like, do I have any friends that are of a different race than me? Or do I like any celebrities that are of a different race than me? Do I have any friends that are of a different gender than me? And if the answer to that question is, yeah, if the answer to that question is, yeah, I like Candace Owens. And like, yeah, I have a friend who is a woman. Or even there are conservative women who will be like, I am a woman. How could I possibly be misogynistic or behave in ways that uphold patriarchy? They instantly go, no, I'm not. And they disidentify with that moniker really, really quickly. It's a really easy moniker for them to just sort of say, no, I'm not. No, I know I'm not because I have a black friend. I know I'm not because my niece is dating a Mexican and I've been nice to him at family parties. So I know I'm not racist. You know, no, I'm not misogynistic because I'm married to a woman and I'm pretty nice to her sometimes. These are concepts that, like, the actual definition of what racism means, people on the left understand. The actual definition of, like, social power dynamics and how racism is systemic and institutional, that you can wield institutional power and systems that were designed specifically to serve one race of people over another, and you can wield those to your advantage over other people or have systemic institutional privilege, and that you can use that in a way that further suppresses and oppresses marginalized people. And you don't have to consciously say the N-word or like out loud espouse hatred of people who are a different race than you or a different gender than you, or go to KKK meetings to participate in racism or to uphold patriarchy. You can do these things by just not understanding what misogyny actually is, what sexism actually is, what racism actually is, how these things are woven into the fabric of American institutions and American systems. And again, too complex for these people to actually go and research it and learn. So I think we get the gist of what I'm saying here. There's two main reasons why our insults or our derogatory or pejorative labels have not worked in the past. A, they just flat out don't understand them, or B, they're just not offended by them. It's just not something that they're actually ashamed of. They're like, yeah, swing and a miss on that one. I'm totally fine. In some of these people, they might be like, yeah, I'm totally cool admitting that I'm racist or misogynistic. You're not going to offend me with that. I'm totally okay saying that I don't want immigrants coming into my country. You're not going to actually get under my skin with that. The reason why weird works, they can understand it, but the reason why they're offended by it, the reason why it actually gets under their skin is because the cornerstone of their ideology, of the identity of the American conservative, the thing that makes them feel like they can say all the terrible shit in the world and do and be bigots and be out loud with their hatred and be this ignorant, is they feel like they are the obvious baseline for normal human behavior. What they think they believe in are normal ideas, normal values, traditional values. Traditional in their mind is a synonym for normal. Traditional means this is the way it's been. And the reason why it's been this way is because it's made sense over time to be this way. So this is the baseline of normal, acceptable human behavior. We are the normal ones. You people with your pronouns, whatever the hell that is, nobody knows, nobody can actually say what a pronoun is. You people are the weird ones. You people with your drag shows and with your wanting to have healthcare for people at a base level in this country and wanting to, make sure that people have a base standard of living and can be taken care of by their government and actually served by their government. You are the weird ones. And this is, so there's a third thing in here. So don't understand it, aren't offended by it. The third thing that we could say is they can easily flip it back and say, I know you are, but what am I? Like they do with fascism, or like they do, a lot of these different labels. They'll find weird, underhanded, disingenuous ways of saying, you're actually that and I'm not. That's actually you, not me. And sometimes, like, we can get caught and lost in the weeds with them on this. This is also a label that when they flip it back at us and say, you're the weird ones, we go, yeah, we're fine with that. We actually are not offended by the word weird. We actually seek, as progressives and leftists, to disrupt the traditional social norms and traditional family values. We want to call into question socially constructed norms, like the socially constructed norms of gender. The reason why we share historical photos of men wearing high heels and being like, hey, look here at the Victorian age or the Elizabethan age, and look at this Edwardian child who looks like a little girl because he's wearing a dress and a wig. Look at this, and look how at one time it was the social norm for little boys to dress the way that modern little girls dress, because there is no such thing as girl clothes or boy clothes. There's just what society deems as most normal for boys or girls to wear at any given era or time in history. So progressives aim with our behavior to be deliberately weird in a self-aware way. We are aware that we are intentionally being weird. We are aware that the branding of Brat by Charlie XCX is meant to make people go, what is that? It's just a lime green square with lowercase brat in it. And we talk about things being brat in a way for people to go, what do you mean? And it has the same effect of saying that something is a sleigh or that something is camp. And we are doing this in a way to intentionally, deliberately play with language and play with social structures and play with social concepts, concepts around language, concepts around gender roles, concepts around sexuality and sex, concepts around personal identity. We want to call into question these concepts. We want to be weird. We want to be a departure from traditional social norms. So when they try to flip this back onto us, we go, yeah, that's fine. We're actually cool with being weird. They're not cool with being weird because it flies in the face of everything they think they are. And make no mistake, we're not just saying this innocuously to like make because we found a word that makes them mad. They are deeply, deeply weird people. They are very weird. This is not just something we're saying because it bothers them. They are weird, and not in the way that we're weird. They're not weird in like a self-aware, deliberate way where they're trying to like pull at the fabric of things that, you know, oppressive societal norms or societal structures. They're not weird in a way where they're trying to call into question traditional ideas that have been harmful to marginalized peoples for a long time. They're weird in this like completely delusional way where they engage in behavior that is just objectively so bizarre and disturbing, and they have no idea that they're doing it. You know, they like for years, I'm wearing a Kamala shirt today. For years, their whole thing was like, how come I never see people on the left wearing Biden merch? How come I don't see Biden bumper stickers? How come I don't see Biden hats? And we kept trying to explain to them, like, because that's weird. It's weird the amount of Donald Trump merch you own. It's deeply weird. Like, we've never treated politicians this way. It's weird how sycophantic you are about your politicians. And they've been this way for a long time. Like, you go into the right bar in Simi Valley and you'll see like Ronald Reagan posters and Reagan flags. Like, they can't let go of their heroes and the people that they lionize. Like, their idolization of politicians is weird. And, you know, like, somebody shared a photo the other day of this thing that happened at the RNC. I want to say 2 years ago during midterms, or maybe it was during, I think it was 2 years ago. And it was this thing that happened where they set up a booth where people could pay to go in and cosplay as a inmate who had been arrested for participating in the January 6th insurrection. So you could put on an orange jumpsuit and pretend that you had been arrested during the insurrection. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene, the actual Marjorie Taylor Greene, would come in and pray with you and like kneel down and do a little photo op with you and pray with you. And this is an actual thing they did at a real event sponsored by the Republican National Convention. And they don't understand why that's weird. You know, like it's deeply strange, bizarre, weird behavior. And if they were doing it in some kind of self-aware, deliberate way where they're like, yeah, there's a statement being made here. There's something we're trying to do. Maybe it would be like, oh, interesting. That's an interesting little like art installation that you're doing there. But they're literally just going like, I want to pay to pretend that I was one of the people who was arrested. I want to pretend that I was, you know, governmentally oppressed for exercising my freedom and being a patriot. And then I want to pay to pretend that while I'm in jail, Marjorie Taylor Greene shows up and says a prayer with me. And that's the extent of it. Weird, dude. These people are fucking weird, bro. Like, and not in a cool way, not in an interesting way, not in like an artistic way, not in a way that you know, pushes society into any kind of new paradigm. Just weird. Just like scary and disturbing and odd and weird. And I think we just need to keep calling them that henceforth and forever. Amen. And amen. Let's go to the comments. Project Darkwood on YouTube just said stupidity and pride equals Republican. Pretty simple there. Pretty simple characterization. You know, I did a video essay about the time that Jonathan Van Ness was on Armchair Expert and Dax Shepard made them cry by, you know, being ignorant about trans people. And this is, you know, Dax Shepard has had bad opinions about trans people and gender nonconforming people for a long time and has like been weirdly supportive of J.K. Rowling for a long time. But in that conversation, there's a moment where Jonathan Van Ness generously tries to say that the reason why Trump supporters are the way that they are is because they lack education. And Dax steps in and goes, hold on. Don't just boil them down to like, they're stupid. Like they don't just say they would think like me if only they were as smart as me. That's not fair. These are just people who have a difference of opinion. And immediately I was like, no, Dax, you're wrong. They are just stupid. Like, sorry, and maybe that word is too harsh, and I think Jonathan was trying to pick a kinder turn of phrase and say they lack education, kind of saying they could gain the education if they had the drive to, or if someone were patient enough to walk them through it, but they lack the basic education to understand certain concepts. And for some conservative people, that is true. They've just never been introduced to the right talking points or the correct, like, they've just never actually been offered the correct education. But it is a deficiency in education, make no mistake. Like, not knowing what pronouns are is, you have a deficiency in a basic level of fundamental education on the language that you speak, on the English language. And that's not just like a group of people who have a difference of opinion from you, but who are equal to you in education and in intellect. That is people who have a difference of opinion from you because they lack basic education, period. KB Failer says, Dax has been wrong on several important stances that I had to stop listening to his pod. You know, it's weird. I don't know. I'm not an all or nothing guy. Dax says another thing on that same episode that, in the context of that episode, I disagreed with, but in the broader context, I don't disagree with. He says this thing to Jonathan where he's like, well, hold on. He's like, let's say that you and I go down 10 points of like gender ideology and you know, gender nonconformity, and I agree with you on 9 of them, but I disagree on 1. That means that I'm your enemy. And part of me was like, well, if the one that you disagree on is that these people should be offered the same dignity as cisgender people, you know, or people who like present in with the gender they were assigned at birth, if you want to deprive them the basic dignity and respect by saying they shouldn't be allowed to participate in sports and stuff like that, then like, yeah, I am going to say that you need to fix that last 10 out of 10 point. You need to get on board with the last thing too. But in the larger, broader sense, what Dax is saying there does have some appeal to me because I still dig people online, content creators and voices online who I'm mostly aligned with, but who we maybe disagree on a few things. Like, there are so many people online who I really respect their work. I really respect their political advocacy and their political commentary and their political perspective. But every now and again, we disagree majorly on strategy, or we disagree on the interpretation of an event that happens. And that doesn't make me go, oh boy, I got to drop this person like a bad habit. I don't know. Like, I don't think Dax Shepard has done enough in my mind to be like, I'm going to stop listening to Armchair Expert. I still really enjoy that show. And I disagree with Dax all the time. And I'm okay with disagreeing with Dax because I feel like Dax Shepard is the kind of person who, if I were on his show, I could tell him I disagree with him and I could tell him why, and he would be excited to have the conversation. He would be like, oh, wow, that's so fascinating. Like, he would be excited to have that back and forth. And, you know, I could probably say the same thing, to be fair, about Joe Rogan. I could probably say that Joe Rogan's also a guy who would be down to have that conversation. But the problem with Joe Rogan is his constant platforming of the worst possible people and his his ineptitude at adequately pushing back on those people. He pushes back every once in a while on Matt Walsh or Ben Shapiro or Jordan Peterson when they say something wildly stupid, or Tucker Carlson when Tucker Carlson doesn't know the definition of scientific theory. You know, Tucker Carlson was a guest on Joe Rogan recently and like spouted the old line of like, evolution's just a theory, very clearly displaying that he doesn't know what scientific theory is and doesn't know what the definition of scientific theory is. And Joe Rogan like pushed back a little bit, but he shouldn't be platforming Tucker Carlson to begin with. And Dax Shepard will not be having Tucker Carlson on his show anytime soon, or Jordan Peterson or Ben Shapiro or Matt Walsh, for that matter. In general, I really like the guests on Armchair Expert, and in general, I think that Dax and Monica would be a fun hang. And I even think that Jonathan Van Ness would agree with me and be like, nope, I still like them, they're cool. And I think Jonathan Van Ness overall, and they have said this publicly, enjoyed the conversation and enjoyed getting to know them. My friend Siri over here, Siri Dahl on YouTube, what's up, Siri? Good to see you. Just said, when the weird thing started catching on, I was annoyed at first because I have long identified with what that word with that word as a compliment. But that's exactly why it works so perfectly to piss off the fascists. So totally, 100%. You know, another word that we could use, and we would never do this on the left because we don't believe in using this word as a pejorative, and for very good reason, but we totally could, and it would work. We could call them like gay. Like every time they say something, we could be like, oh, that's really gay. Like, whoa, that's like a gay thing that you think. And it would work 100% because they would be offended by being called gay, and they would try to flip it back on us and be like, you guys are gay. And we'd be like, 100%, totally, we are gay. Like, we don't actually view the word gay as an insult. We don't view it as a pejorative. We don't think that being called gay is negative. When a conservative person says that I'm a soy boy or a beta, or like says that like I'm effeminate, like I posted a video of me dancing the other day, and some conservative guy in the comments was like, notice there are no other men in that room, not another man to be seen. And I was like, first of all, you're wrong. Like, there are other men that go to dance class with me. And second of all, so, like, I don't care. Are you saying that it's not manly of me to dance? Okay, tell that to James Brown, I guess. Like, whatever. I don't care. And also, like, I don't care if you think I look manly while I dance. That's not offensive to me. So I'm totally all right with someone saying that I give off gay vibes, or that I give off, like, queer-coded vibes. I actually take it as a compliment when someone thinks that I might be queer. I'm just like, oh, thank you. Like, I fucking love queer people. I'm a massive fan of queer people and of queerness and of queer culture. Huge fan. So like, you can't offend me by saying that I remind you of that. But we could totally do it to them. We could just start being like, oh, that's weird. Did you hear J.D. Vance fucked a couch? That's gay. Did you hear that there was a guy on TikTok who said that he matched with J.D. Vance on Grindr, and that J.D. Vance used to be questioning his sexuality in high school? Weird. That's really gay of J.D. Vance. And they would be offended by that. Now, we would never do that. The Democratic Party, like, Democratic candidates could never go on TV. And, like, you know, can you imagine Pete Buttigieg, like, being on TV and being like, I don't know, I just think that a lot of things that the Republicans do are just super gay, dude. I wish. That would be fun. That would be a fun world. But yeah, I think it goes into the same vein of what Siri's saying, that like, weird is not an insult for us. We're totally fine with being called weird. It doesn't bother us, but it really bothers them. The same way that like, it's not offensive for them to be like, sounds gay. It's like, okay, yeah, sure. Yep, I have no problem with with that. I don't know. That would be fun if we could make that a thing. If we could just... like being like, boy, you guys are so weird. You're so weird. Also gay. Also, like, have you guys noticed that? That like, conservatives are like super gay. Like, the way that you like ride hard for Trump, way gay. The problem with it is we are leaning into the idea of the word gay being used in a pejorative sense, and we are giving validation to the idea of it being used that way. And the fun thing about the word weird is it is verse in that way. It's more versatile. Like, weird can be both things. Weird can be a compliment and an insult. And I think that we on the left and as progressives want to lean away from ever using the word gay, you know, like trying to say that it can be bad or good, that it's just like, we want to embrace the idea that like being called gay is just a good thing, that that's, or at the very least, it's totally neutral, that it's just like, it's nothing. Like, you are just describing a kind of person who exists, and that's, there's nothing wrong with that. But the word weird can go both ways. Somebody can say to you, like, I love your music. It's so weird in, like, the best way. Or, like, that play that you did was really weird in a way that I really like. Or, like, God, I just watched the weirdest movie. It was so cool. And it can be positive. And that same person can go, I don't know, that concept you just explained to me, that was pretty weird. That's a weird belief you have. And that word can really go both ways linguistically and work both ways. So I don't think that we have to let go of using weird as a compliment for ourselves. We can still hang on to that. You know, we can still have things like keep Portland weird and keep Austin weird, Austin, Texas, but Austin Archer as well. Valks Nuh-uh says, yeah, I'm not a fan of how libs tend to do that, TBH. Like, when a regressive says something homophobic and everybody starts with the call is coming from inside the house memes, feels bad. Totally. That's on that whenever we do that, whenever we start, like, you know, like, I made a video the other day of the date right stuff guy and what a weird little freak he is, because he is such a totally weird little freak. And he's one of the architects of Project 2025. If you guys didn't know, this is the guy that's always like, so if I can't blah, 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 does that mean that I can't blah, 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 blah? And then, like, he eats a corn dog that's dipped in, like, nacho cheese or something. And Walter Masterson is doing a great job totally dismantling that guy right now. But I made a supercut of a bunch of his videos and I was making fun of him. And a lot of people in the comments were like, this guy's a closet case, or saying stuff like that. And I was like, it's bad vibes to insinuate that someone being closeted is somehow, like, derogatory. The only reason why it works as a pejorative or a derogatory thing toward a conservative is because he's a hypocrite, because he will be vocally outspoken about bigotry toward queer people, but he himself might actually be queer in a closeted sense. But I think that it linguistically gets tied up in associating the characteristic of being closeted or not yet out as being something negative. And I don't think that we really want to get lost in those weeds. Whereas the term weird can just be both things. We can just say someone is weird in a good way or weird in a bad way. Alex Millum 800 says, I love that using weird has just caused conservatives to completely break down. And that is the fun thing too, is like, the reason why I'm doing this episode is because it is working. Like, they are freaking out online, about this. And it's like, I think that's what we're all sort of scratching our heads, because we're like, we've been calling you so many things over the years. How come this is the thing that finally got to you? And it's because they weren't smart enough to absorb any of the other things we were calling them. They either didn't understand what we were saying, weren't offended by what we were saying, or did a little, like, childish, juvenile, I know you are, but what am I, and tried to flip it back on us. Joe Mandragon says, when a party runs on no policy except name calling, I think it's appropriate to respond in kind. Weird just sticks. Like, they are literally saying voting for a woman makes you a woman. How can you even respond to something like that? Exactly. Like that's not. And what's so funny is Vivek Ramaswamy was like, hey guys, the weird thing is so juvenile. If you can't win on policy, then, like, just say that. He was like, either win on policy, but cut the name calling crap. As though the Republican Party is not the party of name calling, of running on name calling and not policy. Like, Donald Trump is their guy because he would show up to Republican primaries and just have little schoolyard names for everybody. He'd be like, oh, look at little Marco, Ronnie, little Ronnie, ooh, little Ronnie, running for the hills, little Ronnie. You know, and people would just be like, we love that. We love that he just make fun of other guy, that he just tease him. And they are like the flagship party in the entire world political stage of just running on name calling and not policy. And by the way, Kamala Harris is running on policy, and they are strong policies, as we showed at the beginning of this episode, where we broke down the DC Shorts amazing campaign ad that they accidentally made for her. She's got great policies, and she's even got like a lot stronger policies on Israel and what's happening in Gaza than Biden was going to be putting forward. She's already starting to be stronger with Netanyahu and Israel than Biden ever dared to be. And that's really promising, and that's really exciting, and that's really cool. Project Darkwood says the high road is exhausting. Totally. And I don't even know if it's like taking the low road to just say, because we're not, again, we're not just saying you're weird just to be rude. It's accurate. It's accurate and effective. Mrs. Mongo 007 says, crazy Kamala is his only defense after today's interview. He's melting. And crazy Kamala is like not even good. Like, it's just like, nope. Sleepy Joe, pretty good. Because let's be honest, homeboy was sleepy. Let's be honest, homeboy was homeboy was about to go honk me, honk shoe, hork me, hork me, every time he was doing a public appearance. Somebody says Trump is sleepy too, though, and that is true. Crooked Hillary, let's be honest, the Clintons are sketchy as fuck. Let's just be real. Let's be real. The Clintons are sketchy. Like, they wrote a TV show about the Clintons, and Bo Willimon, who created the TV show, was like, yeah, I used to be a speechwriter in Washington, D.C., and this couple is based on who you think it's based on, and I'm not exaggerating about them that much. And that show is House of Cards, and if you've ever watched House of Cards, like, they're based on the Clintons. I'm not saying the Clintons have had people killed, but I'm also not saying that. So Crooked Hillary, yeah, sure. Crazy Kamala, like, that's what you've got, is just she giggles. Cool, buddy. We're good. Like, you toast, bud. You're done. You're done. You're toast. You're toast. By curtains, dog. Game over. Crazy Kamala? Cool. Awesome. Yep. Our girl's crazy, dude. It's going to be crazy how bad she whoops you in November. It's going to be, those numbers are going to be crazy, dog. Crazy Kamala is going to like lay some crazy whoop ass down on you on the debate stage. And I think that he's going to do it now after what she said in Atlanta, after she was like, yo, say it to my face. It's so smart of her campaign to be like, the best way to get him on the debate stage is just to be like, you won't. I dare you. You won't. He can't help himself. He can't help it. Gregory Albright says, I would be surprised if Netanyahu doesn't have an October surprise planned when it becomes clear Trump's path to victory is evaporating. Yeah, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Netanyahu kind of ramp up the violence if he feels like his alliance with the United States might be in jeopardy or evaporating. This all goes into just like, how much power does the United States actually have to dictate to him what he can and cannot do with the money and the weapons they've already given him? I don't know. Yeah. Avihn, I don't know how to say this name, A-V-I-H-N, it looks like Avihn, says, but is calling them weird really going to make anyone voting for Trump not vote for him? I'd say 85% of them, no. But I would also say, weirdly, that there's like a not insignificant faction of conservative voters that are just juvenile enough and just like intellectually soft enough that it really could, that they'd be like, I'm not weird. No, I'm not voting for him. He's weird. I'm not weird. And like that a tactic like this, that something that actually gets under their skin could be the kind of thing that makes them feel just off enough that they're willing to be like, I'll do whatever I have to do to get people to stop calling me weird. I'll behave in whatever way I have to behave so that people will stop saying that about me, because I don't like the way it feels when people say that I'm weird. I think that the vast majority of them, no, are not going to change their stance. Joseph Garcia Jr., whoa, just donated $10 on YouTube. What's up? Thank you. And said, I personally enjoy flipping the facts don't care about your feelings on them, considering they are incredibly fact adverse. Yeah, I mean, that's how ironic is that, that like Ben Shapiro coined this phrase, facts don't care about your feelings. And the whole time he was doing it, he was just saying things that are empirically untrue. He would constantly be like citing crime statistics that were just like disingenuous at best and completely untrue or misleading at worst, like where it'd just be like, oh, that thing that you're saying is leaving off major massive context that actually completely disproves it. And he'd be like, sorry, facts don't care about your feelings. And it's like, interesting you're saying that, Ben, because the actual fact of what you're saying is that it's the opposite of what you're saying it is. Facts don't care about your feelings. Pronouns are just improper nouns. Sorry. I know that the word pronouns creates an emotional response in conservatives where they're just like, ah, I don't like, no, no. Donald Trump, he said, dude, he said, I don't want pronouns. He said the sentence, I don't want pronouns. A 78-year-old guy who's been in public life his entire life said the sentence, I don't want pronouns. Well, sorry, bud. You either need to reshape the English language or you're gonna get them, or you got them. Thank you for the donation, Joseph Garcia Jr. Thank you very much. Alyssa says, Saw McConnell calling her a ding-dong based on her polling while criticizing her for not being a serious person. Like, dude, serious politicians don't say ding-dong. Also, she's polling really well, so yeah, sorry, facts don't care about your feelings, McConnell. Also, hey, buddy, are you okay? Are you still here with us, McConnell? Should you be making public appearances still, little turtle McConnell? Should you be speaking publicly still? Are you okay? Spaceman just sent $5 with a super donor on with a super sticker on YouTube. Thank you very much for the $5 donation. Really appreciate you. Thank you. Ginger Nichols just said bling blong or bing bong. Oh, bing bong. I thought you were referencing a video that I made where I said bling friggin' blong. But bing bong, I guess, is a character in Inside Out. Oh, so somebody said it was Kennedy from Louisiana, not McConnell. Okay, cool. All right, good. I hope McConnell's just at home resting his brain. Let's see here. Mrs. Mongo says Jill Stein should run for something and do things between presidential elections. I agree. Jill Stein should get involved at lower levels than just trying to be president every 4 years. Hot take, Jill Stein's a grifter, y'all. Sorry. She has a platform that's really appealing to far left voters so that she can get like a few million people every 4 years to like throw a bunch of money at her. But she doesn't have a platform or a brand that is big enough or expansive enough to actually be a realistic candidate in a presidential election. And I think she knows that. Jill Stein is stealing money from you. She's grifting. Like, she shows up every 4 years and she's like, hey, it's me. Look at my very progressive platform. Let's do this. Even though she knows she doesn't have a chance in hell of being a serious candidate. And she just raises a bunch of money from people who don't know any better. She's grifting you. If she were serious about politics, she would get involved at the lower level first, kind of the way that Kamala Harris did, you know, by being like a district attorney or being like a senator first or a congressperson or a mayor or a governor. That's what people who are serious about running for president do. They don't just show up every 4 years and go, give me money and then go bye. Like, even though she knows she has absolutely no chance of winning. Robert Seal says, you've seen how conservatives have gone after Ilhan Omar, I don't know how to say her last name, accusing her of secretly being a man. Yeah, of course. They suck. These are like not intelligent people. By the way, somebody asked me earlier in the stream what my favorite Olympic sport is, and I said I don't know, but Ilona is dope. Ilona's been absolutely trucking girls out there on the rugby field, but you know who had the medal-winning play the other night? Is my girl Alex Cedric. From where? Salt Lake City, Utah. Dude, if you haven't seen the clip of Alex Cedric trucking over an Australian defender and running the full length of the field on the final play of the rugby final for the bronze medal, you got to go watch that play. It's the coolest thing I've seen in the Olympics so far. So far, it's the cool, like, there are 15 seconds left in this match, and the U.S. is pinned all the way on their side of the field, and Ilhan Omar gets, like, tackled pretty hard, and they're just like, oh, they're gonna have to go the whole length of the field if they want a chance of winning. And Alex Cedric, from my home city, Salt Lake City, just trucks this girl, dude, and runs the full length of the field. It's dope. It's badass. And scores for the U.S. and gets the U.S. women's rugby team their first medal ever. It was pretty sick. All right. Anyway, that's a good place to end. Keep calling them weird. It works. It's accurate. Keep doing it. Thanks for the conversation, everybody. Thanks for participating. Thanks for being here. People Pleaser is written, edited, and hosted and produced by me, Austin Archer, with original theme music also by me. Hey, did you know that I have original music also available at my Bandcamp, austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com? If you're watching the song Congratulations right now on my TikTok because you want to watch Trump telling everyone he doesn't know what pronouns are, that song is available, as are all of my TikTok songs and all of the songs I've ever recorded, over on my Bandcamp, austinarchermusic.bandcamp.com. You can also get my double vinyl, Beautiful Things, the deluxe edition over there. If you don't want any of my music, if you just want to listen to it for free, you can listen to it on Spotify. But if you want to support in other ways, patreon.com/austinarcher. That's a great way to get involved with helping this show stay alive. Shout out to all of my Patreon patrons. I love you very much. Thank you for your contributions. I genuinely could not do this without you. Horizon Part 2, they announced it today. It's going to the Venice Film Festival. So hopefully we'll get a theatrical release shortly after that. If you have not seen Horizon Part 1 yet, go watch Horizon. It's good. The critics are weirdos. They're weird. The critics are weird. It's weird takes. There are genuinely weird takes about this movie. Horizon's good. It's a good movie. I'm in it, and I'm in part two even more. So hopefully you get to see part two soon. Okay, that's all, I think. Let's go win an election. Let's go win an election. Crazy Kamala, baby. Stay weird, y'all. Take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. Love you so much. Bye-bye.
Wanting something to be right so much you push it from your life is the thing, though. If anyone is gonna stay with you, that's not something you can control. The results are not your business, you know.